good evening. Tonight, we're going to look at this passage. It was a prophetic message to the nations of a child that was to be born. I get this passage from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Now, the rest of this message, I'll read it first. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see that in one day, God is going to send a child. More specifically, he's going to send a son. This son is going to rule the nations. This son is going to be a counselor, a comforter. This son is going to be wonderful, marvelous. He's going to be the mighty God. He's going to bring peace to all the earth. He's going to be an everlasting father. His government shall increase. His rule shall be a rule of dominion that none can challenge. And basically what I'm going to do tonight is just break down these adjectives of who the Lord is. And I'm just going to pair up some scriptures to prove and to show that Jesus is the Christ, that this passage is speaking specifically and only in Jesus Christ. So I have a lot of passages here. Because we know the Word speaks, it testifies of itself. The Word is a witness to itself of the prophetic nature of God. And we know that He is true because the things that He has said has come true. He is able to perform that which He has promised. So we see this first is a child is born. Way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve, right after they had sinned, God gave them a promise. In Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God is speaking of one to come that is going to destroy the serpent. That is going to destroy Satan himself. And when we sit there and we can read of a child is born, I was thinking about this on the way in tonight, we have a very, very small glimpse of Jesus' life as a child. We have his pre-birth. We have a little bit after his birth. We have one little snippet of when he was 12 years old in a temple. Mom and dad left him behind. Then it picks up. In Jesus' ministry, and for 3 years, it expounds on Jesus' life, who he is, what he is doing, what he is proclaiming. We must not focus on the child in the manger. We need to focus on the man on the cross. Amen. And even after that, focus on the man, he who is on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Because that ministry is a lot longer than the ministry that we have in his life. And it's more effective than that of his 3 years on this earth. I'm not saying his 3 years wasn't effective, because it was. But we see that he is the everlasting Father. That his dominion has no end. But we do see a child. Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled. This prophecy is being fulfilled at this point. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
A lot of these passages that I'm going to read are going to cross each other's paths. Because Christ is all in all. Christ is the epitome of God's nature. He is God. So you see that a lot of these adjectives are going to crisscross throughout these passages. Acts 13:32. "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it also is written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Jesus is the only begotten of the Father.
Amen.
He came as a child. He came the Holy Spirit. It says what? The Holy Spirit came upon Mary? Overshadowed Mary? And she was impregnated with Jesus? A virgin? This was a miracle. Mm-hmm. Never happened before, and it never happened after, and it never happened again. But God is able. Galatians 4:4, "By when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." For what purpose? To redeem. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So this had a purpose of Christ coming to the earth, being as a child. He grew in favor with man and with God. He grew in stature as a man and with God. We see Jesus came as a babe, but he died our Savior. Came and redeemed those who were lost. "The government shall be upon his shoulder." God sets boundaries and powers on the earthly governments, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He doesn't allow them to go no further than what he says. Jesus told Pilate that thou couldst not have any power at all against me except it were given thee from above.
That's right.
A government is a rule. It's a dominion. It's a ruling of the people. A taking care of the people. And we see that Jesus has the government upon his shoulders. He has all rule. He has all dominion. There is none that challenges Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Even Satan's power is limited by God. We can read in the book of Job. He only lets Satan go so far with Job, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. And Satan even knows that his time is short. We're not the only ones that knows the end of the Bible. We know the end. We know what's going to happen. But so does Satan. Satan knows that his time is near. All earthly governments and dominions, all principalities and all powers, and even the heavenly realm, they are all governed and ruled by God in Christ Jesus. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And we see the government is upon his shoulder. In Ezekiel 1:26, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne." Now we see that a lot through the scriptures. We see visions of this throne. as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So Ezekiel, they had a vision of a throne, a sapphire throne, with an appearance as a man. This made me think of when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar saw this. Mm-hmm. And he said, one is in there that appears like the Son of God. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Matthew 2:6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor. Shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Pilate asked Jesus, art thou the king of the Jews? A couple times through Jesus' life, they asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Yes. But he's also the king of the Gentiles. He's also the king of the satanic realm. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the governor. Luke 1:32, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We can read all through the scripture of this throne of David that God has lifted up. He has exalted this throne that shall never decrease, and it shall never go away. And the King of Kings is upon that. Christ himself is in that throne, is on that throne of David. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, aren't thou the king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear the witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So you see that Jesus came into this world as a king, and he left this world as a king. This time he's a high and exalted king. In Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son he saith, thy house, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. We see this scepter is at the right hand of God, ruling and in dominion over all. It also says in Isaiah passage, that he is wonderful. He is marvelous. Mm-hmm. Zephaniah 3:16, it says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gathereth her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. This is a wonderful thing that the Lord is going to do. He's going to free his people from their captivity. He's going to make them, he's going to enable them to sing with praise and glorify God himself. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. As wonderful and mighty and everything that you can say about Solomon, Jesus overshadows that. He has overshadowed, Jesus has overshadowed Solomon in all of his kingdom, in all of his wealth, and all of his wisdom, and everything that we can think about Solomon. Christ is more wonderful. Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. This is a wonderful thing. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and amen, unto the glory of God by us. Jesus is called wonderful because he is all beauty and desired. He's called a counselor. In Zechariah 6:12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. So we have a king and we have a priest sitting on the same throne. And he has come to bring peace to the nations. A counselor will try to bring peace to a soul, a person who is troubled. And that's what Jesus does. He brings peace to a troubled soul. Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So Jesus came with this covenant, the message of the new covenant, this comforter, this counselor. He is going to counsel us on how to become, how we're able to come to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. He is counseling us to come and buy gold. He's counseling us to come and ask of him of this water of living, of fountains of living water. He's counseling us to come to him. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So let us therefore, he's counseling us to come. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in to help in the time of need. When we're in our darkest hour, when we're in a time of need, we can go to Christ and he will remove that burden from us. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He is the greatest counselor that we could ever have.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father. He is the Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ aboundeth in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. A counselor brings comfort. And by God being the God of all mercies, the God of all comfort, we're able to receive comfort from Him, not only for ourselves, but so we can minister to those around us who need comfort also. So see, we're first partakers of the first fruits of comfort. And then we can give that comfort to someone else because we have gone to the great counselor. He's called the mighty God. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven. This is the great king of Babylon. Remember, 7 years prior to this, he was going through, see this great Babylon which I have created. He went out to pasture. God humbled him. 7 years later, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. He is the mighty God. It is God who exalts, and it is God that casts down. And at this point in Nebuchadnezzar's life, he lifted up his eyes and realized that he was not all that. That there was one higher than him.
Amen.
Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power had been given to the Son by the Father. Luke 23:42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is telling me that Jesus is the mighty God. He is able to forgive sins. And he's able to open the door to paradise for those who ask of him. He is the mighty God. Mark 2:7. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Amen.
Jesus was forgiving sins.
Mm-hmm.
He is demonstrating that He is the mighty God. He not only healed the lame and cured the sick, but He forgave sins. Mark 2:10. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. So see, God or Jesus demonstrated that He is a mighty God, that He has been given all power in heaven.
Amen.
And in earth. No one was able to forgive sins. In Mark 11:10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remember they was putting the palm leaves down, and here Jesus was coming in on that donkey, on that colt. They was singing out, Hosanna to the highest. Save, we pray, is what I seen Hosanna meant. Save us, O Lord. Romans 1:3. Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. See, we've received grace and apostleship by Christ Himself, because again, declared to be the Son of God with power. Revelation 15:3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Remember, we're talking about the mighty God, which is Christ Jesus. He's also called the Everlasting Father. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we see that He is from everlasting to everlasting. And we see that He is a Father because He has been given life in Himself. So He's able to give life to those who ask of it. He is the everlasting Father. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am."
Amen.
And well, how could you have seen Abraham? You're only 30 years old, or I forget exactly what they said, but you know, he would have had to been like 2,000 plus years old to see Abraham. He would have been wrinkly. But He said, Jesus chose His words. He said, "I am." And they knew the Scriptures. They knew what He was referring to. That He was God manifested in the flesh. 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ, which is the true God and eternal life." The everlasting Father. Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." The everlasting Father. He has made everything. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy," there is no controversy in this statement, "great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. This is speaking of only one, and that is Christ. He is called the Prince of Peace. Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So we see that just the entering in of this child, which was born in a manger, peace came to the world. A peace that had never been seen before or experienced before. Ezekiel 34:24, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them a place, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing."
Amen.
This is peace to God's people. Haggai 2:8, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." The latter house shall be greater than the first. Jesus will be greater than Moses. The new covenant will be greater than the law. Because in the new covenant, we have peace with God. Luke 1:68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and as he spake in the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been seen since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." The Prince of Peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus was leaving his peace for his children. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So see, those who are in Christ Jesus, there might be tribulation. There will be tribulation about them, but they can have peace because Christ has overcome the world. And he has given us this faith that through our faith, we too are able to overcome the world. We have been given peace with God. Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." He is reconciling all things. Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace." Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So we see that Christ is the author of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And the last point tonight is forever. Jesus Christ is forever.
Amen.
Daniel 7:13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed." The prophet Daniel saw Christ coming in the clouds. Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and of the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There is not going to be one person that is not going to bow their knee to Christ.
Amen.
He has dominion over all things. And it's not going to end when this world ends. It's going to continue. My final passage is Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded. This is the end. The seventh angel sounded. And there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and art to come, because thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and has reigned. So we see that this prophecy of a child being born was much greater than a child in a manger. Mm-hmm. This was born a king, a counselor, a governor, a prince of peace, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. And we saw that it was all wrapped up in a child. But we see that He is highly exalted above men and above all. Is there any other questions or comments or corrections?
Amen.
I think it glorifies God you to open up and lay out His attributes and for us to concentrate on those.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Him being the everlasting Father. In Hebrews, He talks about, behold, I and the children Thou hast given Me. He's a Father, and like in Isaiah 53, also said, who shall declare His generation?
Mm-hmm.
He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days.
Mm-hmm.
We are the seed of Christ.
Amen.
We are His children,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. He is a Father in that way, too. But He's the Father of all things, like you read. All things are by Him. And for Him.
It truly was a blessing looking at all these scriptures and just confirming. I mean, it's not like we didn't know it, but bringing them all together and seeing all that pertains to Christ and His kingship and all the attributes that He has.
It's also good to know that He still has the government on His shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in charge of everything.
As much turmoil as this world is in,
mm-hmm.
because of men's reign, we know that God is still in control. We know that Jesus is still upon the throne and that He is still reigning.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that one day He will put an end to it. And we will be with Him forever in a place where there will be no more turmoil. There will be no more pestilence. Well, I thank you all for your attention. Shall we all stand? And Brother Nathaniel, you want to give us a close?